Matthew records in his gospel account the trial of our Lord. And as he is on trial and he's about to be condemned to death and to go to his crucifixion, Matthew records in the 27th chapter, beginning in verse 26, these words of inspiration. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Can you imagine any scene that is sadder and more shameful than this scene of Jesus standing there with a crown of thorns upon his head? It almost brings tears to the eyes to imagine what that scene must have been when Jesus, wearing a crown of thorns. Did you ever wonder why it was that they chose thorns from which to make this crown? Go back in your Bible and remember how that when Adam and Eve had sinned, God cursed the ground. God said unto Adam, thorns and thistles are going to come out of the ground. Is it possible that the thorns that Jesus wore that day, that crown of thorns, is a reminder of the curse upon the earth because of sin? And because of my sin and our sins today, Jesus wears that curse upon his sacred head. Jesus wore a crown of thorns that you and I might be able to wear crowns that the Bible describes are given to God's people today. No, we do not wear a crown of thorns, but there are some crowns that are promised unto the child of God that we're able to wear today, because Jesus exchanged the crown of thorns for you and me today that are upon our heads. Think with me about them for just a few moments today. I turn my Bible unto 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And there I read the words of Paul when he will write unto the Corinthian saints, beginning in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one, only one, receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible. Look at it a moment. Imagine here is someone out, maybe in the Olympics, and they're running in the race, and this great crowd are on that racetrack, that course, and they're running as hard as they can in order to win. Only one crown placed upon the victor's head. It was a wreath. And the wreath was placed upon the head of the one that would win in that race. We're involved today in a race of life. In Acts 20, Paul says, I want to be able to finish my course with joy. I want to be able to come down to the end of the race of life and have joy in my heart because I have run the race successfully. Did he do it? Yes, you know that he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he comes now down to the close of his life, I am ready, he says, to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Because Paul was able to look back upon his life and know that he had run that race of life faithfully. He would be able then, as the crown was going to be given unto him, it would be an imperishable crown. A crown that would not fade away or pass away. Paul will say to the Corinthian saints that those who are running in this race of life, those who are trying to receive this incorruptible crown, they're trying to bring their bodies under control. They're running in the mastery and trying to achieve the victory, to be temperate in all things, to be sure that the desires and the things that may hinder us in running the race successfully, that we lay those things aside. Even today, as a person is training in running, and as they train in running a race, maybe the Olympics or the Boston Marathon or any kind of running in a race in the physical life, they know they can't gorge their body on cake and ice cream every day. They can't lay on their couch and not be out and training their bodies in running the race. No, they are temperate in all things. They're seeking to bring into control the nature of the flesh that would hinder them in winning the race. Well, you and I also are reminded that we must bring our bodies spiritually into control. We must be temperate in all things. Paul will say, I buffet my body, not buffet my body, but I buffet my body daily to bring it into subjection. There is then this imperishable crown, a crown of victory God gives to those who are going to run the Christian race and win the crown at the end of the race. And it's not just for one person. But all of us can stand on that wonderful day and be crowned victoriously with the imperishable crown that is given to those who run the race successfully. Don't grow weary. Don't get discouraged as you are running in the race of life, because victory is just ahead for those who serve the Lord. Let's look at a second wonderful crown. I've got my Bible. I'm going to be open to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And I read these words that Paul wrote unto the saints in Thessalonica. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? What is the crown Paul is referencing here? It is the crown of rejoicing. What is the rejoicing that Paul has? And he looks forward to receiving that glorious crown that will rejoice his heart. He says, it is you. You are my joy. You are the crown of my rejoicing. You go back to Philippians chapter 4. And again, Paul will say that the Philippians who had obeyed the gospel, they were his joy and they were his crown. What does that mean to us today? Does it not mean that those who are trying to lead souls to Christ, we call those individuals soul winners, and they're out there in the world trying to bring people to Jesus? And when someone obeys the gospel of Christ, oh, the joy and the thrill that fills the heart of the one who is trying to lead people to Christ. If you've ever been involved in a Bible study where someone decides, as you have taught them the gospel, they want to obey the Word of God, and maybe by your own hands, you have baptized someone into Christ. That is a crown of rejoicing. We have an old song, Brother Sammy, that we sometimes sing. It goes something like this. Will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goeth down? Would it not be a wonderful thing when you're in heaven, somebody taps you on the shoulder and you look around, and somebody is standing there behind you and they tell you, thank you for leading me to Christ. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Thank you for helping me understand the Word of God and obey the gospel of Christ. And the crown of rejoicing is a joy in our hearts that we have led someone to Christ. And that's the crown that Paul makes reference to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, you Thessalonian brethren, you who have obeyed the word, you that I have taught the gospel, and the Philippian brethren, you are my joy and my crown. Can I be encouraged today? Can you be encouraged to try your very best to lead someone to Christ and to know the crown of rejoicing? There's another crown that is spoken of in the Bible, and we have made reference a moment ago to Paul's final letter before he goes to his death. And he writes to his young preacher friend Timothy these words, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." What is that crown? It is a crown of righteousness. The righteous, godly life. Paul had lived and served God all of the days when the Lord called him and set him on the road to living a righteous life. and the righteousness that Paul found, not in the law of Moses. There was no righteousness that he'd be able to achieve in that law. For that law simply and only pointed out how unrighteous that we are. But there is a righteousness that Paul found in the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now listen to it. For therein, in what, Paul? In the gospel. What is in that gospel? The righteousness of God from faith unto faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And because Paul, you see, had accepted that gospel and he had shared it with others. And he had lived up trying to be righteous through the precious, wonderful gospel of Christ. The day was going to come, and Paul was looking forward to that day. Paul was longing for the day that he would stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of us shall someday stand before Christ at the judgment seat. What a wonderful thought comes to our minds that there will be given to you and me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give us at that day. Paul says it wasn't only for him, but for all of us, all of you who are now fighting the good fight of faith. For those of you that are seeking to finish the course and keep the faith, when that race is finished and life then is over and we stand before our Savior, we shall then receive a crown of righteousness. What a beautiful thought that is to all of us today. But there's a fourth crown that the Bible speaks of. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to look at James chapter 1. And there we have identified another crown that is given to the faithful child of God. Listen to what James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes in verse 12 of the first chapter of his letter. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Are you facing temptations today? Are there things that are pulling on our hearts, trying to pull us away from God, tempting to lead us away from our service unto Him? The man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, tempted and tried, I'm oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And trials, temptations, press into the life of the child of God. But listen to what James says. When he has tried, when the trials are over, he shall receive what? The crown of life. The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's a crown of life that is promised unto the child of God that goes through life and endures the temptations, the trials, and the struggles that we face. There's a church that is described in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse number 8. It is those suffering saints in the city of Smyrna. And the Bible says in verse 10, you're familiar, I know, with this verse. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. What if that was to be said for us today in this audience? The devil is about to cast some of us into prison. There are people in prisons today in our world because of their faith in Jesus. Because of their desire to stand up for what is right. And who knows what the future holds for any one of us in this audience. Who knows, but the day may come in this very nation that the devil shall cast some of us into prison because of our faithfulness to the Lord. Behold, You're going to be tried. You'll have tribulation 10 days. It's only going to be of short duration, not going to be very long. And that tribulation will then be over. And if you'll be faithful unto death, I will give you what? A crown of life. Now look at the contrast. You're going to be put to death. Your body is going to be killed for your faith. But you will receive the crown of life, the life that is eternal. He was an old man, about 86 years of age. He was a faithful disciple of Christ. His name was Polycarp. He served the Lord in the days of persecution in the time of the early church. And they tried to get Polycarp to deny his faith in Jesus. They didn't want to put that old man to death. And as they led him out to the place where they would attach his body to the stake, and they would light the fire underneath his body, they knew what was about to happen to Polycarp. And they said, just renounce Jesus. Say Caesar is Lord, and you'll not have to die. Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him. He never did me wrong. How can I now deny the one who died for me? And they tied that old man's body to the stake. And they lit the fire underneath his body. And as the flames leapt up and began to consume that old man's body, and he was burned to death at the stake. His body died. But his soul received the crown of life. And that crown of life is the promise that all of us have. And I know that we look at Revelation 2 and verse 10 in this way: be faithful unto death. And we sometimes translate that word unto as until death. You begin the Christian life when you're young, and you live it all the way down until the end of your life. And yes, that is true. We do need to be faithful all the way to the end of life. But that's really not what is being told those Christians there. They're being told, you be faithful unto the very point of death. You be willing to lay down your life for your faith. And in so doing, your body will die, but you will have the crown of life. And that crown of life is worth far more than anything that we could ever receive in this life. Finally, Peter is writing unto the elders. And I know currently this church does not have elders. You've had, as I mentioned the last time I was with you, you've had great elders in this church through the years. But there's a beautiful thought that is stated about another crown, crown of victory. In verse 4 of 1 Peter 5, Peter says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you elders, you faithful shepherds of the flock, you godly leaders of my people, you're going to receive something. You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here's a crown of reward of a life that is lived in shepherding the flock, in encouraging souls and being the men that God needs today. And while there may not be elders here, you can look back and you can be sure that the godly men who serve this church will receive a crown of glory. And the godly elders that serve in the congregations of the Lord's people everywhere today, there is a crown of glory. And there's probably some men right here in this audience who in the past have served as elders, shepherds of the flock. And the wonderful promise of a crown of glory given to the men who faithfully serve in the kingdom of God, what a wonderful crown that will be. The esteem, the glory, and the honor that is given to anyone who would accept the wonderful privilege of leading God's people. That's what that crown of glory is all about. I close my thoughts with you today in a little different way about crowns that you and I are able to wear in this life and in the life to come. Listen to what is going to happen to our crowns someday in heaven. Revelation 4, verse 10 and 11 records these words. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Understand what is being said here in these verses. You and I will not strut around heaven wearing a crown of glory, a crown of honor, drawing attention unto ourselves. What shall we do? What is going to be the desire of our hearts as we're given these crowns of victory? The Bible says they cast their crowns before the throne of Him that sits upon the throne. And our crowns that are given to us, these crowns of victory, will be thrown before the presence of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, because they are worthy to receive all glory and honor and power. They created us. We are created for His purpose, to honor and glorify Him. Are you today wearing a crown? The crown is offered to you this morning. And upon our heads can be placed a crown of righteousness through the blood of Jesus. Through being baptized into His death, upon our heads it will be given a crown of righteousness. And we're going to run that race, aren't we, in order someday to receive that imperishable crown. And oh, I want to reach out to others, teach others the gospel, so that I can have a crown of rejoicing. And I want to have that crown of life, living a faithful life, serving Him. When death comes, there's a crown of life given to the faithful child of God. I asked Brother Sammy if he knew the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, because they didn't know it. But beautiful song expressing our desire today, not just that we wear the crown, but that we crown Jesus. with the many crowns of which he is worthy.